Well, greetings, everyone, and thank you for taking a couple of minutes to this listen to this TFMR podcast. I've got on the line a guy I've gotten to know over the course of the last 12 months or so, once again getting a chance to visit with Keith Neumeyer, who is the CEO of First Majestic Silver, and he's also one of the founders of First Mining Finance. And it's been a pleasure to get to know him over the last couple of months, and it's a pleasure to also always work with my buddy Dan at Future Money Trends, and I want to thank him for hooking me up with Keith and getting a chance to visit with him. Keith, thanks for taking some time today to visit with me.
Well, it's great chatting again.
Man, I tell you, there's a lot going on, obviously, and it's what's always so much fun to talk to somebody who's really right there, boots on the ground in the silver industry. We've seen silver here in 2016. I mean, it's up 30 or 40% from the lows back late in December. Of course, that was the last time the Fed hiked rates, and silver's gone up, what, 40%? Now here we are, they're talking about hiking rates again. What are you seeing in terms of global demand for silver, both on the wholesale level, retail level, and what do you think about price going forward, Keith?
Well, a message to the Fed, bring it on, you know, let's raise these rates and get it over with. And, you know, that'll be your buying opportunity for gold, obviously, and silver. So anyways, you know, it's you know, we've seen a very good run in the mining stocks and obviously, you know, the metal prices as well. We're seeing a correction now, which is, you know, long overdue. You know, I remember back in May, you know, we saw, you know, a couple of day correction, and normally, you know, the summer's, you know, quite a slow period. You know, June, July are tend to be kind of quiet months and obviously negative months for the metals and the mining stocks, and yet we saw a very, very strong, you know, June, July, and even August, and it's just now that we're seeing this correction. This is the first real pullback we've seen on this sector, and it's really giving a lot of people an opportunity that missed this market previously, you know, to get into this market.
What are you seeing in terms of demand on the physical level, Keith? Are you guys still on track to do about 20 million ounces this year and then sell most of it? Are you seeing strong demand?
Well, yeah, it's all, well, we don't have any problem selling our metal. Yeah, we'll produce about 20 million equivalent ounces this year, of which there's about, on a silver basis, that's, you know, close to 14 million ounces, or between 13 and 14 million ounces of pure silver. And then, of course, we've got gold and some lead and zinc on top of that to make up that difference. But, no, silver's pretty easy metal to sell. You know, there's no effort. We don't need a sales force. You know, it's a liquid metal. It's very much in demand. And, you know, as we electrify the planet as the human race, you know, silver is very much a strategic metal. You know, and I've said it 100 times, but I know many people look at silver as money or precious metal, but I look at it as the most important metal, you know, for the human race.
Let me ask you this question, because I've been shouting this from the rooftops quite a bit lately. Everybody looks at that gold-silver ratio, and they say, I can't figure out how this could be. You know, how can it be 70 to 1 when it's historically been 10 or 15 to 1? And I lay that at the foot of the COMEX, I think, because price is determined on derivative trading, not actual metal trading. That's how you get such a skewed gold-silver ratio. What do you think of that idea?
Well, it's an unfortunate thing, right? You know, the whole paper trading that we, you know, fall under today was created, you know, to allow, you know, the commercials, you know, and the miners, you know, a way to buy and sell the metal and hedge their needs. You know, the big consumers of silver, you know, need to hedge their requirements. You know, if you're Sony or someone, you know, who are gobbling up, you know, millions of ounces of silver, you need to try to blend out your costs over, you know, a period of time in order for you to, you know, properly manage your costs, you know, producing whatever you're producing. And the miners, the same thing, you know, to blend out their selling prices over a period of time. And, you know, but unfortunately what's happened is, you know, the banks have taken over the trading of this paper, and then they just, you know, trade scads amounts of paper. The silver market trades in a day, you know, a billion ounces, and we only produce 800 million ounces a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you trade a billion ounces in a day when you only produce 800 million ounces in a year? So, you know, where is the, you know, proper price setting mechanism? Well, there is none. And you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is the system that we have to deal with until hopefully one day the system finally breaks. Now, your stock has done particularly well this year, speaking about First Majestic, and all the miners have just gone like crazy really since the middle of January, but we've had a little bit of a pullback here. Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, I do, you know, because, you know, I travel around the world and you know, the stocks, you know, should never have got to the prices they got to originally, you know, was First Majestic trading at, you know, $3, you know, at the end of last year or early this year, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, it should have never been there in the first place, but there was such a hate on the industry, and then no one wanted anywhere near, you know, mining stocks or gold or silver, and it was just a completely ignored sector. And then all of a sudden, people started to want to get into the sector. And the mining sector is very small, so it takes, you know, a very little amount of money to actually move the sector. And then and we saw, you know, an explosive move that, you know, took stocks up from, you know, up by 300, 400, 500%. And it was exciting to see. And I think it's just an indication of things to come, you know. And one of the things that I heard from institutions around the world during that big, huge up move was, geez, we missed this. We didn't predict this at all. Like, and you know, how do we now buy these stocks when they're up, you know, to these levels, you know? And some of course did, but, you know, what, you know, and everyone's been waiting for this correction. It's finally here. You know, we have institutional meetings coming up over the next couple of months, and our schedule is just full, you know, to the brim, and which is, you know, telling me that the interest levels are coming back, and you know, this sector is back in the beginning of the early stages of a bull market that could, you know, go for several years into the future.
And we've seen First Majestic pull back. That was such a spectacular run over a period of, what, even maybe 7 months, from 3 up to 19, but now it's back to 12. I would imagine that gets the institutions pretty excited about a chance to buy the dip.
Yeah, no, it really does. And, you know, you know, we're getting taken out of the GDXJ, you know, because our valuations just went so high. So, you know, it's causing some, you know, there's a whole group of miners. I think it's about 12 miners or something being taken out of the GDXJ at the end of the week, this week, actually. So, you know, of course, that affects the trading. And then those stocks that are being taken out of the big indexes, that's the, you know, huge mining index, you know, are obviously, you know, trading, you know, under the, you know, you know, trading less than some of the others would be trading. So, you know, well, once that all rectifies itself, I'm sure things will be fine. But, you know, I think the market, you know, look, silver went to $21 an ounce, you know, from 13, and it looked like it was going a lot higher. So there was a lot of expectations, you know, that silver would just keep going. You know, silver did correct. It's now, you know, slightly less than $19 an ounce, which is still great. You know, our cash flows at $19 an ounce are fantastic. So we're happy to, you know, see $19. But I think we're going to end the year, you know, probably closer to $25 an ounce.
If it does, I would think all miners are going to rebound considerably. You know, and it was an interesting story, too, to see some of these central banks, which the logic of a central bank printing their currency to buy equities, we can probably discuss another time. But isn't it interesting to see some of these central banks moving into the mining sector as well?
Yeah, it is. And you know, I'm not sure I don't think I've ever seen that before. You know, we've seen, I've seen on the internet that the Swiss bank and the Norwegian bank, you know, our shareholders at First Majestic, and not just us, of course, but a handful of mining stocks. I think, you know, because there's such a, you know, great performing sector, when the metal prices start to move, and we'll see that now, we're just starting to see the beginnings of this next bull phase. And, you know, who knows if it's going to be another 5-year bull market. You know, the last bull market in metals was 10 years long, and we saw gold go from $250 an ounce to, you know, $1,900 an ounce. So, you know, from the low of, you know, $1,050 an ounce, you know, what, you know, go, and that was an 8 or 9 times move. So, you know, 8 or 9 times move, you know, from 1050 takes us to some pretty big numbers, obviously. So, you know, if that actually does happen, you know, these stocks are just started this move.
Yeah, yeah. One of the companies I did want to wrap up by asking you about, though, is one that you run called First Mining Finance. A lot of folks refer it to as a mineral bank, a company that has acquired, I guess, some properties, if you will, that maybe were in distress or inexpensive prices over the last couple of years. And now we're moving into this phase where some of that value is beginning to be recognized. Now, I saw an announcement a couple of weeks ago that a couple of projects that you acquired, if we could call it that, out of Mexico are being handed off now to an exploration company. That fits what First Mining Finance has always been all about, but I'm not sure a lot of people understand that. So could you take a couple of minutes and explain how this works, why it's happening, and what this means for the future of First Mining going forward as a business plan.
Sure. We went public, after a couple of years of me putting together a number of different projects. We went public in April of 2015 with 18 projects. And we hit the ground pretty hard. We acquired 8 companies over a 13-month period. And I think, there's no one in the mining sector that's ever done that before. We took, advantage of the extreme low valuations in the mining sector. We're putting a gold portfolio together at less than $10 an ounce in the ground, which is just ridiculous that we're able to actually do that. With 18 projects that, none of them really had, defined ounces in the ground. Of course, we know there's mineralization there. Some have been drilled. Some actually were old mines. So, we know there's metal in the ground. It just hasn't been advanced. They haven't been drilled. But the assets that we set out to purchase were very, very advanced assets. And we were able to acquire 14 million ounces of gold over a 13-month period by buying these 8 companies. And now we've got 28 projects. So we're looking for partners, and a group approached us, a company called Silver One. The trading symbol is SVE, and I think the U.S. symbol, I think they're trading on the bulletin board. I think it's SLVRF, if I'm correct. And they approached us and bought, our 3 silver projects. And these projects were in First Majestic's portfolio, but, First Majestic, as everyone knows, is a large silver producer, and we didn't have time to go and explore these projects, so we sold them to First Mining Finance, and as First Mining Finance's model is to find partners, and they found this group, Silver One, to advance these projects. I know from speaking to management at Silver One that they're going to drill out these projects and hopefully advance them and develop some serious ounces, and that's what our expectation is. So it's going to be great for First Mining because we have a big stake in First in Silver One, and we have a royalty as well if it does ever get into production. And of course, it's great for Silver One investors because it's very early days. The company has only been trading for 2 weeks, so it's very, very early.
So if the projects pan out, First Mining Finance still has a stake in them. So that's a good thing. And this is all part of, really, I guess, the business plan as you set it up to have these projects get some demand from other companies that want to take them on and make something of them.
That's exactly what we set out to do, and we'll continue to do that. With a project base of 28 assets, that's a lot of assets. And some of them are obviously more important than others, and we'll deal with different assets in different ways. But I think shareholders of First Mining can expect us to continually work on monetizing the portfolio to bring benefit to First Mining shareholders. And of course, we're looking for good partners, and I think the Silver One Group is an extremely good, experienced group, and have a really good shot at advancing this company or Silver One I'm referring to.
Well, Keith, it sounds like things are right on track. Now, if we can just get prices to finish this corrective phase and move forward, we'll just have to see where we go here with the rest of the year, interest rates and what everything's going on in the economy and with the Fed and the election. We've got a lot of noise out there, but I would imagine you feel pretty confident that silver prices are headed higher as we round out the year.
Well, I think investors have to be patient, right? When you go back and look at the move, the bear market, or the bull market I was referring to, as I said, we had a 10-year bull market from 2002 to 2012. I can tell you, and maybe many of your listeners weren't around, or maybe they weren't invested in the market at that time, but if they were, they had firsthand experience that the market did not go straight up. It went up in gyrations. And there was times during that 10-year period that everyone thought it was over, but it just turned around and gold and silver just kept going. So these corrections, this is a new bull market, absolutely 100% for sure, as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, I don't think I'm wrong. I've seen these markets before. I've been in this industry for over 30 years, and I've seen bull trends, I've seen bear trends, and this is definitely the beginning of a new bull cycle, but these corrections are going to happen, and that's the time. You have to try to, I'm not going to tell people to trade the market, because sometimes that you know, you could lose your position because, you know, but what you should be doing is looking for good companies that are run by good people that have good assets, and just be very careful in what you're buying and just follow the right people. And I think if you follow the good business, or primarily the good management teams that have, you know, created wealth in the past, I think you have a better shot at increasing, you know, your investment if you follow good groups.
I agree 100%, and there's no doubt that First Majestic and First Mining Finance fit into those categories. Keith, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to get an update directly from you, and I look forward to speaking with you again sometime soon.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.